from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The pitch to Dansby, line drive, left field base hit. It's going to drive in two more runs. Clutch RBI single, Dansby Swanson. Cubs lead 4-1.
Homer works on the third base side of the rubber. Takes a deep breath, kicks and delivers. Hit in the air, deep right field. Suzuki going back at the track, backing up near the wall, and it's gone in the basket for a home run. And Cincinnati takes the lead. Jonathan India, an opposite field shot, a two-run home run. And it's Cincinnati 5, the Cubs 4 here in the fifth.
The pitch. Fly ball well hit, center field. Green still back on it. It's over his head. Two runs are in. Here comes Berger. Throw to the plate, not in time. I'll tell you, Riley Green was playing a deep center and he still couldn't make that play. That was a blast. 3-0. Kinstry on deck. Tied the game with a home run in the seventh. Deep left on a 3-0 swing and a home run for Zach Short. Boy, what a week he has had. Hit a big home run in Kansas City off the bench. Two-run single late on Thursday, and another big day today.
It's time for Hit and Run with special host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Go. There we go. Happy Sunday, Chicago. It is Gabe Ramirez on a Memorial Day weekend, filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tough day in Chicago, if you're a fan of some teams here, as the results, not necessarily what we were looking for. Cubs fall into the Cincinnati Reds for their second set, 8-5 yesterday. And then, of course, the White Sox, man, 7-3, fall into the Detroit Tigers. We got a ton to talk about. It's going to be a good one today. We have some really good guests on the show today. Coming up at 9:30, we got Chuck Garfine. Really excited to talk to him about the White Sox, the state of the White Sox. And, you know, I think few people have a better grasp on the personality of the Chicago White Sox than Chuck Garfine. So it's going to be interesting to talk to him, see how this team gels. What are his internal thoughts about this squad? Because I know he, like myself, just really our hearts beat loudly for the Chicago White Sox. On the other side, we got Wayne Randazzo coming up. He's going to be hanging out with us as well, and then Chris Kamka. So we got some good guests today. We got Leo Stadaher producing the show today. Leo, how you feeling, man? Your first hit and run, right? Can't hear you. Mike's not on. Put it in program. Make sure you got it in program. Nope, I got you, though. You got him. Clearly, we got to work on some stuff over there, get that going. But what I want you to do, Leo, first and foremost, just open the lines. And the reason being is because I need to check the pulse and temperature of the Cubs fans that are out there right now. Because as a casual Cubs fan, I can't believe I just said that, but as a casual Cubs fan, even I'm frustrated with the Chicago Cubs. So to see where they're at, see what they're doing, you thought Cincinnati, you know, Cubs are going to be taking on Cincinnati home. You thought that they might be able to do something. Maybe pull together a couple of victories after taking 2 out of 3 against the Mets. And then, of course, the first game, I mean, not much to say about it. I mean, Hunter Green was just throwing gas from the very beginning. 11 strikeouts, went six innings, didn't give up a hit. I mean, just absolute gas, hitting the top of the strike zone. Just it was like one of those days where the temperature's perfect, the ball's leaving your hand right where it should be, and you're making guys like you're making guys like Dansby Swanson just looking silly. Got Trey Mancini, hadn't started in a week, just watching 100 mile per hour gas fly by you. So again, I'm curious what your thoughts are as Cubs fans as you're seeing, you know, the last few games for the Cubs. And I don't know, because it's been such a wild ride for Cubs fans. Beginning of the season, I talked about it at length where I said Cubs were projected to lose more games than the White Sox, yet Cubs fans were more excited than Sox fans were going into the season. And then took you on a bit of a roller coaster ride, playing extremely well in the month of April, and then May rolls around, and then kind of just get robbed. You got some injuries. You're shaking up the squad a little bit. So, again, I'm just curious. We could have a nice little open discussion about these Cubs after losing their second game to the Cincinnati Rebs. Let's go to Bob in Arlington Heights.
So, Bob, good morning, Gabe.
Good morning. What's going on? How are you? Feeling good on this beautiful Sunday?
I'm feeling as good as I can feel, but, you know, I guess I'm feeling as good as I can, but I feel like I'm, an accomplice after the fact for watching multiple arsonists get away with it seven or eight times since the last preseason game. And I asked your screener, I said, I only have one question this morning. Has Michael Fulmer been DFA'd? And if not, why not?
And that's a good question. I mean, obviously, the assumption when he was brought in was, you know, he can potentially help us, but we're not banking on it. And, of course, unfortunate that, you know, he allowed those two runs, you know, on Saturday against the Reds, gave up, you know, a hit and two walks. I mean, it's frustrating at times when you see that. What were your expectations going into the season of Michael Fulmer? Were they high for him?
Yeah, I was hopeful. I mean, I you know, all my friends are grinding me because I said my prediction for the Cubs this year was 87 wins.
Ooh.
And everybody thought, oh, man, you know, hope is not a strategy. And I go, there's a lot more there than you see. And you're going to see the effects of synergy. And, you know, as you know, you and I haven't talked before, but I've talked to all your other colleagues. I'm a longtime caller on Les's show.
Bob, I've heard you on this radio station plenty of times. I know exactly who you are.
Thanks. Thank you. And, you know, I really believe there's talent there. And, you know, I guess one of my other frustrations is I'm not drinking the David Ross Kool-Aid, and this is not the time to jump on David Ross, because basically David Ross and Jed Hoyer are joined at the hip. And where we are now with the bullpen is, you know, they're like multiple, you know, they're like dual stars in the cosmos. When the Ricketts have had enough, they'll both go. And this is really more on Theo Epstein and the Ricketts than it is on either Hoyer or Ross. But, you know, I think despite all that, what I saw coming into the season was they made a lot of moves in the offseason that I thought were going to position them to leverage the young talent, let some of the people in the farm system grow another year and put some things together. And I guess Hoyer hit the nail right on the head the other day when he said, you know, the real linchpin in this was the strategy that they had used for the last two or three seasons and going out and getting accomplished relievers and then letting them go, you know, and, you know, recycling that every couple of years. this year it didn't pan out.
No, it didn't. You know, it didn't, Bob. And I appreciate the phone call because you bring up some really great points. You know, talking about first, you know, going back to Fulmer and the expectations you had with the roster that they brought in and, you know, creating synergy and there being some magic that would be able to be found. And it was there from the very beginning. Let's be very clear. There was some sort of palpable magic that was taking place on the north side with this team, and it was feeling good. They were, you know, it was fun in the beginning. You know, everybody was playing together. There's smiles everywhere. It's unfortunate that it's not sustainable, right? And sometimes that good feeling can take you somewhere. And obviously you get to a point where you got, you know, Fulmer in there. You know, you got 7.84 ERA. Has allowed 2 earned runs or more 6 times in 23 outings. I mean, when you're looking at the bullpen, you knew that was going to be some sort of an issue. You felt comfortable with the starters. You felt comfortable with the defense. You knew the offense was going to perform in certain levels. You just weren't sure to what level it would be at. But, you know, I do want to remind the fans that when you're looking at the construct of the team and you're looking at where the Cubs are in the, you know, in the path of towards a championship, sometimes we as fans get into this space where clearly we are hopeful and optimistic before the season begins. We know everyone is. Everybody's 0-0 at that point, so you feel good about your team. But sometimes it's so hard as a fan to take a step back and understand where in the process you are at so that way your expectations can match reality. And I think where in the beginning of the season, as I mentioned before, Bob, people were so high on the Chicago Cubs, like yourself. But if things don't go necessarily that way, you kind of shouldn't be so down on the team because you should have had realistic expectations for, again, where they are at in the journey. But as a diehard fan of my sports teams, I know it still causes frustration. And that's where we're at right now. You are in a frustrated space, and that's why we're taking your phone calls. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. He is going to be doing the pre, post, and fifth inning for today's Cubs game, which you can hear right here on 670 The Score. So make sure you guys are here for that. Let's go to Al out in Darien. Al, Bob touched on it a second ago. He said he didn't want to make it a David Ross, you know, hate fest. But I'm curious. You said you're frustrated with him, but why, though?
Hey, good morning, Gabe, and happy holiday, first of all. Look, I'm a 55-year Cub fan, diehard, but a realist driving optimism. Even going to this year, I was a realist driving optimism to the great points you made. It's not a matter of pointing fingers at Rossi, but a move has to be made. Being recognized as he's attached with Hoyer, his in-game decisions are so questionable. It's unbelievable. And look, I met David Ross, super nice guy, does outreach. But we hired him based on popularity, not his experience. He had zero experience, and I cannot accept, well, he was a great catcher, he managed pitching staffs. No. In fact, if you look at his previous mentor, Joe Maddon, who was a self-anointed baseball whisperer, and you remember, Gabe, that's the same guy that needed 3 pitching coaches for 3 straight years, 3 hitting coaches 3 straight years. So, to me, I'm probably one of the rare guys, Gabe, who is not a fan of Joe Maddon. And you fast forward, you have his protege. You have this guy who believes that the 8-ball analytics is the way to go. And I'll leave you with this. If Morrell or somebody are really hot, they're doing really, really well, before they have their first at-bat today, they're not starting tomorrow, even if they go 5-for-5. So, to me, Gabe, something has to happen. And I have my kids and my grandkids. And it is frustrating. And what he said, Gabe, well, you know, here's his recommendation for improving. Well, you know, it's a good thing that all the teams in the NL Central are playing crappy. Really?
Yeah, that's what everybody's been saying. But Al, let me ask you this. Because, listen, you're bringing up some great points. You seem like you're, you know, really on the Rossi getting out of town train. But do you think if they bring someone else in that person is going to magically fix the team to put them in a position to make the playoffs?
No, sir, they're not. No, not at all, Gabe. But what they will do is step back and take a look at the protocol. What is the protocol? I have a starting staff that gives me at least 6. I mean, quality starts. We're in the top 3, top 4. So then you take a look at it and say, look, we have an anemic bullpen, but we have Adbert, right? We have him going forward. We have Assad possibly, maybe Wesneski bring him in. Maybe put Hendricks in there as well, because Hendricks, he's got the Arrieta syndrome. The league has figured him out. So, no, there's not going to be a magic dust. You know it, Gabe. You're well informed.
Yeah.
But at least to go back and sanitize the protocol of making a decision. When you're there up by one and you bring in Fulmer, please, come on. You know, this is something where the league is going, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And so to me, no, to your question, Gabe, there's no magical solution, but there's a new voice.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys are going, yeah, we know he was hired based on his popularity and the home run in 2016 World Series, but he does not have the experience. A super nice guy, but with all due respect, a few steps below clueless when it comes to in-game decisions.
I appreciate the call, man. This is great. I will say this. Listen, I love well-informed fans. Spiegs and I actually did the morning show on Friday together. And we were, you know, talking about Hit and Run because I was going to be, you know, filling in for him. And I was just highlighting the fact that Chicago as a whole, we have very smart fans, very intelligent fans. Al's making some great points, but I had to double back on him and be like, you know, if you were to fire Ross, does that then mean, you know, the Cubs, you know, make the playoffs, right? So, but I love what he said. He had some real there. Listen, you know, was it a bad decision to hire Ross in the beginning? No. You knew you were going to be going through a revamp of the roster. Why not put a guy in that, you know, is fan-friendly, like you mentioned, Al, has the 2016 connection. And I think people were pleasantly surprised at what he was able to get from those Cubs teams since he's taken over. And I think that's allowed him this space, right? Where, okay, you know, here's some more talent for you, Ross. Let's see how much better you can be. And to be very fair, you know, up until a week ago, being, you know, two games under 500, it's probably right on par. Like, all right, I got you some better talent and now you're closer to 500. And I think that's something we have to give the Cubs some grace as well. Not Mark, but just regular grace. And that the team isn't great. And that's no shade. It's just when you're looking at some of the top teams in the league, top to bottom, they're good. And so, again, this goes back to my statement earlier, which is sometimes our expectations don't match our reality and what we want. Like even Spiegs, I go back to that conversation. You know, he is adamant that, you know, the Cubs should be looking to make some moves to put themselves in a position to win the NL Central. And I'm like, Spiegs, but why though? Like, why are you giving up, why give up assets on a team that is not even supposed to be in that predicament? Why not just get rid of some of your assets to bring in more people so that way you can make some offseason acquisitions and then build on what you have in the present? Again, it's a tough position to be in because we as fans want success in the present. And when it does not exist, regardless of who's out there, because there's no one that believes in the team more than the fans do. Some of these guys that are playing, you're like, Michael Fulmer, there's Cubs fans out there that want him to be good. David Ross, there's people out there that want him to make the right decisions in particular situations. It's Gabe. 670 to score. Filling in for Matt Spiegel. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Cubs fans, we're taking your thoughts right before we get to Chuck Garfine, right around 9:30. Joe in Orland Park. So your question has to do with a position player.
Yes, I'm a Patrick Wisdom fan. The man suffered 9 years in the minors. He came up. He hits 28 home runs. Last year, he hits 25 home runs. He hits 11 home runs in April. And he becomes the invisible man. I go back a long time. He needs to play every day. I go back to Dave Kingman. It's 48, 49 home runs. He strikes out a lot, but he makes the game exciting and potentially a winning game. So I don't know what happened, why they moved him off of third base, why he became an occasional DH player. He seems to be a good guy who gets along with everybody, including fans. And I just don't understand what Dave Ross, you know, what, you know, they said, oh, we're going to put Madrigal at third. Why? Because somebody's at second base already and somebody's at shortstop. He's a nice guy too. But Patrick Wisdom, if he gets hot, he hits home runs and streaks. He had 11 in April and one home run since then because he hasn't played. How do you hit a home run if you don't play?
Yeah.
That's my gripe.
I appreciate you, Joe. Thanks for the call. And, okay, let's live in that space first where, you know, some guys do perform at a higher level when they have consistent at-bats, right? You feel like you're part of the game, the team. It's not, you know, having a mental effect on you, draining you. But, you know, let's be two things. One, you know, Patrick Wisdom wasn't necessarily his hottest, right? He had like one hit in like 21 at-bats up until like 2 days ago. And striking out 14 times, no walks during that span. And sometimes you feel like as a coach, you have to do these things to, you know, there's no, you know, what does your IT guy tell you at work when your computer's not working? Did you hit the restart button? Right? Did you do the basic stuff? And on players, you know, managers have to figure out a way to hit that restart button, you know, with their players on occasion. And with Patrick Wisdom, sometimes it comes in the form of an occasional benching because, you know, you want to maybe light a fire underneath him to get him going again. But again, I understand your point where you need to get in, you need to get those at-bats in. But, you know, Patrick Wisdom is somebody that's going to be a part of this team. You've seen his, you know, his strikeout rate is just so high, right? And when you're looking at his last 11 games, you know, he's had at least one strikeout in 9 out of those 11 games. And I would say the vast majority of them, he has multiple strikeouts. Two, you know, going back to May 12th, 1-2-2-1-3-2-3-0-4. Four strikeouts in a game against the Mets on the 23rd. I mean, it's just hard to make a case. But again, that's what Rossi's job is, to get the best out of a guy like Patrick Wisdom. And sometimes it's unfortunate. Guys find themselves in hot months, right? April just happened to be his. And, you know, we're just in May, and hopefully there's obviously a ton more months that he's going to be able to have the opportunity to bounce back. But Cubs, again, you know, drop to the Cincinnati Reds. Game 3 is going to be right here on 670 The Score. Pre-game with Matt Spiegel. If you're wondering where he's at, he's prepping up right now to do the pregame for those guys. And obviously, game's going to kick off at 1:20. Right here on 670 The Score. So we'll make sure we'll have that. A lot more baseball on the way as Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago joins the show. What's his take on the Chicago White Sox after dropping 2 out of the first 3 to the Detroit Tigers? Does he think, like I once did, that the Sox can split this series versus the Tigers? We'll ask him that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
On the ground, and they'll get one, and they will get two. Oh,
for about 5 minutes or so looked pretty good after the Sheets double, but this stingy bullpen. Today, the Tigers were able to get to it.
What a 5 minutes it was. Sox lose to the Tigers 7-3 yesterday. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. Going to be talking to Chuck Garfine in just a second. And, you know, it's funny, man. I keep referencing, I know this is Spiegel's show, but I keep referencing the fact that him and I did a filled in for Mully and Haw on Friday. And we just had some really good baseball conversations, so I'm just kind of rehashing a little bit of them. And he was saying, going into the series, how the Tigers were sneaky good. And a lot of people were under the assumption that they were just going to be bottom feeders in the AL Central. But they're 24-26, two games under 500, where the Sox now sit 10 games under. And just a couple of missteps. That one hurt yesterday because it's, you know, the Sox, after, you know, having the inability to score for the first six innings, put three on the board in the seventh. And the team, like, that was the most disappointing part, was that the team seemed so hyped up after putting three on the board with that Gavin Sheets knock, which should have been a grand slam, by the way. But either way, Sox dropped that one 7-3, but there's still one more game in the set. And I told you guys I was going to ask him what he thought if the Sox can pull off this last one. And he is who is joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Of course, he does post, pre and post for Chicago White Sox on NBC Sports Chicago. Someone who I admire greatly, Chuck Garfine. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe, how are you?
Oh man, I'm not as mad as I should be after the Sox dropped two of the first three to the White Sox, because I said before the series, Chuck, I was like, I know who the White Sox are, and I'm not anticipating them sweeping or taking three out of four. I think they're going to split, because that's what the White Sox would do in this situation.
Wait, hold on a second, Gabe. You said that you know who the White Sox are. You have the hidden information that no one – you have the secret. You know who the White Sox are? Because I don't even know who the White Sox are.
I think what happens, Chuck, is that, you know, we as fans act like we don't know who the White Sox are. But when we take a step back and actually look at them, and we don't allow them to disappoint us or to be as emotionally invested, yes, we know exactly who they are.
Well, usually it takes till around June when you know what a team essentially is or what they can be. And we are getting close to June, obviously, or you want to wait till the Memorial Day weekend. And they've been two different teams. That's why I bring this up. They went 7-21 to start the season. They were one of the worst teams in baseball. And since then, they're 15-11. So who are they? I don't even know at this point. I do think they're not – I know. I can say that I know they're not the 7-21 team. And now they've been playing better, and they're 15-11. This is the kind of team where I'm going to have to wait till July.
Okay.
July to know who they really are, because we've seen two completely different months of baseball. So this is going to be one of those years for me where I'm going to have to just have an addendum to what I normally say about a team, and I need another month. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and for me, they're right in between, right? They're not the team that started off so poorly, and they're not necessarily a 15-11 paced team throughout an entire season. They're someone they're gonna make you feel good some days. They're gonna disappoint you other days. But the worst part about it for me, Chuck, is that I genuinely have belief in the squad, right? Like when I go up and down the lineup, when I look at the pitching staff, you know, I still have that feeling deep down inside where I'm like, this team can be good, but it's just frustrating when they can't put it together consistently. So when you think about the inconsistencies, and you just touched on it, right, the two different teams, like what can you point to?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Let's just start with walks. That just is popping in my head right now. This is not a team with good plate discipline. They are dead last in the majors in walks. And what that shows me is there are many times where they're just up there hacking, and they don't seem to have the right approach at the plate, and they make it very easy on the starting pitcher. And the part, like you saw what happened yesterday, you have Michael Lorenzen, a good pitcher. He's not a perfect game type of pitcher, and he was perfect through
17,
you know, five and two thirds. And you know, the White Sox were just up there hacking, and I know that sometimes you're up there hacking and it works, but, you know, this is a team that doesn't have a pitchers work very hard. And when that happens, there's a lot of things that go into play in terms of how a team can go on a run. How can they avoid slumps, losing streaks? And when you have disciplined hitters, that can help you battle and find ways to win games. That's just one little thing I'm just thinking of right now.
I mean, that's a great one.
No, and then, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a winning baseball team. And starting pitching, really what happened with this team this year was in April, the starters were only going four innings or five innings, then four innings, then five innings, and many times not doing well in those games. That hurt starting pitching. That hurt the bullpen because the bullpen was just taxed. And that also has an effect even on the offense where your offense is thinking, oh, we're already down 3-4 nothing. Now I got to score some runs. So there's a ripple effect when the starting pitching is not good. And they were not playing great baseball, and they were playing really good teams in April. And then you had a 7-21 record. The starting pitching has been much better in May. They've gone deeper in games. The bullpen has been rested. They've added back Garrett Crochet. They're going to get Liam Hendricks back soon. And things have quieted down, and they're winning games now. So it's those kind of things. But, you know, this. You look at their record right now, you're thinking, this team's a playoff team. If they were in any other division or almost any other division, it would be a much greater challenge for them to win the division. But the AL Central is there for the taking. I expect them to win the division. I'm saying that right here, right now. They should still win the AL Central because the Twins are not a great team. You can make up six games easily over the course of 4 months. There's 4 months left of baseball to play. So I think they can do it.
Talking to Chuck Garfine here from NBC Sports Chicago. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. You know, you bring up some, first of all, I love the confidence, right? I mean, because now it makes me want to open up my gambling app and just put some money down on the White Sox to go ahead and take that. But, you know, when you go back to the hitting aspect, Chuck, you know, I was giving Andrew Vaughn some crap the other day on the morning show because I felt like, you know, with the success of like Jake Berger, Gavin Sheets, and, you know, Luis Robert Jr. just, you know, hitting bombs away, no one's really been like really paying attention closely to what Andrew Vaughn is doing, you know, batting, you know, just over 230. You know, I know the RBIs are where they want to be, but he's on pace to hit less homers, on pace to strike out more than he did last year. Do you think there was just too much pressure on Andrew Vaughn, or are you saying that, you know, it's just early in the season, Gabe, let it play out and the numbers are going to come eventually?
Yeah, I mean, it is early in the season, but, you know, he's second on the team. Actually, he's first on the team. Andrew Vaughn leads the team in RBIs.
Right.
So he's driving in runs, so I don't think he's putting pressure on himself. I mean, he's batting 237. He should be higher, but, yeah, he's had a slump or two in there that has sent his average tumbling to a point, to a place where I don't think he should be. And by the way, breaking news, Eloy Jimenez not only has been activated today, he is in the lineup batting second in right field. So that's going to be interesting to watch.
Wow.
And this is and Moncada is not starting. He's not at third base today. Maybe they're just giving him a day off. But so they are getting healthier. But, I mean, Andrew Vaughn is batting cleanup. And, you know, I put this tweet out yesterday that with runners in scoring position, that's a big stat for me. There are some people who think the RBI doesn't mean that much. They think runners in scoring position doesn't mean that much. These are sabermetricians that, you know, look at the game a little differently than me. But whenever I see a guy on second base or a guy on third base, and I'm just a casual viewer of a baseball game, my only thought is that guy at the plate, if you're the White Sox, has got to drive him in. And Andrew Vaughn has been prolific at this. I didn't update it today, but yesterday, with runners in scoring position, Andrew Vaughn has the second highest OPS in baseball behind Yordan Alvarez. And with two outs and runners in scoring position, Andrew Vaughn is first, number one. He has the highest OPS in all of baseball with runners in scoring position and two outs. So he's proving to me he has, like the first baseman before him, Jose Abreu, he has the knack to drive in runs when you've got guys in position to score. So is he perfect? Is he batting 300? No, but he has been a productive hitter. Is his WAR, you know, not where you want it to be? Yeah, he should have a higher WAR. I think it's right around zero. But he's been much better than, I think, what meets the eye, certainly on White Sox Twitter, who feel like he's been a bust, and I disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck, you bring up some great points. Obviously, the RBI thing, I mean, I didn't know the stats about, you know, runners on scoring position, runners in scoring position to two outs. I mean, that's obviously incredible. I guess for me, you know, like we were talking about casual Sox fans that are watching, and what do you want? I just wanted him to hit a couple more home runs. You know, I want to feel good about Andrew Vaughn and his power and what those contributions can look like. But as I mentioned, you know, other guys stepping up in that space, like I said, Jake and Gavin. When you look at this, when you look at the outfield, I mean, you just mentioned Eloy's back playing right. What is your ideal three-man outfield for the Chicago White Sox team?
That's a good question. It's a good question, and I don't have the answer because, like, today you're going to have – actually, no, Andrew Benintendi is not playing. I'm just noticing. So this is interesting. You have Clint Frazier playing. There's a lefty. Eduardo Rodriguez is starting today, so that's why Benintendi's not in there. So on a normal day, it's Benintendi in left, Robert in center. This is where things get interesting for the White Sox. So, yeah, I want Eloy's bat in the lineup. I want him playing. Okay, but if you have him DHing, then Jake Berger's not playing. So you put Eloy in right, and you have Berger as your DH, but you're missing something defensively. There's also Gavin Sheets, who's off to a great start.
Killing.
Offensively, but he's not the greatest right fielder. So where are you going to put his bat in the lineup? Like, he's not playing today. There's a lefty on the mound. But there's that situation. Clint Frazier's come up. He looks really good for a fourth or fifth outfielder. But, you know, it's a pickle. It's a great problem the White Sox have right now, believe it or not. They actually have some depth. I can't answer that question. I think long-term, what you might be seeing, because the White Sox have been practicing Jake Berger at second base, if you just want a pure best offensive lineup and worry about the defense later, it's Benintendi in left, it's Robert in center, it's Eloy in right, or Gavin Sheets in right, and either Eloy or Gavin Sheets DHing, and it is Jake Berger playing second base.
I like
so,
it. I like it, and I want to see it, Chuck. That's the thing, right? Like, I want to see that lineup, too. That's must-see TV right there when you're talking about the Chicago White team.
If
you're talking
offensively, about, yes. Defensively, right. I'm not sure.
Right, offensively. But, hey, I'll take a 9-7 victory, you know, a couple games in a row. I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, the other side of that is the pitching. And I did want to talk about Jesse Schulten's. I mean, obviously yesterday, you know, after giving the Sox five innings in his first outing after a Jimmy Lambert, you know, first inning, I feel like he's not a guy that's going to overpower you with this stuff, but he is a guy that's going to eat up some innings and he's going to make you feel good that, you know, you got a shot. What been your takeaways from Jesse in his last two outings?
I mean, it's been two outings, but right now, through two outings, he's looking like Davis Martin 2.0, guy who you can bring up from the minor leagues, and he can essentially shut down an offense. Now, he hasn't faced, like, prolific offenses. It's Cleveland. It's Detroit. But, I mean, he's been impressive, and he's not going to strike out a lot of guys, but you're just – what I've seen so far is it's a lot of weak contact, and that's what he's been getting so far from, just be honest, some weak-hitting teams. So let's see if – I mean, well, it looks like Clevinger is going to get the next start in that spot. So Schulten's, I'm assuming, is going to go back down to AAA. But Davis Martin's out for the year with Tommy John surgery. So, you know, the depth of this starting rotation has somewhat been tested just because they lost one guy. But, you know, if they lose two guys, then, you know, who else do they have? They don't have a ton of guys in AAA who are lighting the world on fire from a starting pitching standpoint. But I'm impressed with Schulten, no doubt. He started several games in AAA. Props to the White Sox front office and their coaching staff for, you know, finding him and developing him and making him a definitely – a guy you can lean on in the major leagues if they need it.
Yeah, and that's something that the White Sox most certainly need. I mean, when you're trying to figure out who can have those spot starts as the season, you know, continues. So it's good to have a guy like that there. And you mentioned it earlier, Chuck. It is good to see the White Sox starting staff kind of go deeper into games. We saw Giolito having some really good starts outside of his last one. You know, Cease picking it back up. Lance Lynn looking great. When you think about this rotation, do you see any shakeups in the form of trades happening? I mean, I know a lot of people have been talking about Giolito being moved, or you know, obviously the Sox have a nice bullpen right now. When you see changes happening, if any, do they come in the form of trades, or is it just internally with the minors?
I mean, it really depends on how the White Sox are playing and how they're playing around the trade deadline. Now, when they were 7-21, and they had lost 3 of 4 to the Royals in Kansas City, at that point, I mean, we did a White Sox Talk podcast about, okay, what if they have to do a rebuild again? Because it was looking like this team was going to have a fire sale because they were one of the worst teams in baseball. They've clearly turned things around. So where is this team? I mean, now I don't think they're talking about trading guys right now just because they're back in the race. So where are they going to be at the trade deadline? If they have a chance to win the division, I can't see them, okay, now let's just trade Lucas Giolito because his contract's up.
Right.
But are they going to be listening? Sure. Sure. And maybe they decide, okay, you know what? We're going to trade Lucas Giolito because we feel like we can lean on Jesse Schultz for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know if I would be doing that, but, at some point there's going to be a tipping point with where are we as a team? What are our chances of winning? And what are we going to be potentially trading or potentially losing at the end of this season because these guys are going to be free agents? So, Joe Kelly, I mean, I can just start listing names whose contracts are up and they could be traded before the deadline that could help them out for the future, but then that hurts your team in the present. Joe Kelly, Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, Yasmani Grandal. But here in the end of May, I don't think it's – and with the White Sox having a 15-11 record since they started 7-21, I don't think it's, needed to have those conversations right now. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. Let's see how they're playing over the next 2 months, and we'll go from there.
Fair enough. Fair enough. One other addition that could potentially be happening within those 2 months is the addition of Liam Hendricks. I know obviously you've been, covering him, seeing him. And obviously what's been happening, the remarkable story, this offseason. Talk to me a little bit about, Liam and your thoughts on having him back to the squad and what he means to this team.
I mean, I can tell you this, how much he means to the team. From a baseball standpoint, he's their closer. He takes the ninth, he takes the ball in the ninth, and he means a ton. From the human side of things, I mean, I asked Ethan Katz about what he has gone through and what it means to see Liam on the field. This is back in spring training, and the pitching coach for the White Sox, Ethan Katz, started tearing up. I mean, they know how difficult of a situation he was in. It wasn't just non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was stage four, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And there he was during his cancer treatments, during spring training. He was showing up at Camelback Ranch, and he was throwing bullpens and, here and there. And they just couldn't, in a way, believe what they were seeing. But then when you know Liam, I mean, this is what I've always been saying about Liam Hendricks and cancer. When cancer came knocking on his door, cancer didn't know what it was dealing with. It's dealing with Liam freaking Hendricks. And so now he's knocking on the door on getting back to the major league roster. It hasn't happened yet. He had a live batting practice in Detroit on Friday, and we'll see. And something that Ozzie Guillen said on the postgame show yesterday is that he doesn't think that Liam should immediately be the closer. Like, let him grow in a way back into that role. Don't just, like, his first game back, have him closed. That's what Ozzie says. But then again, from what I know about Liam, he probably wants that ball in the ninth in a one-run lead. So we'll see. It also depends on how he's feeling. You know, clearly he's not all the way back or hasn't been all the way back in the last week just because they haven't activated him yet. So, you know, there's still some hurdles in his mind, or maybe the live batting practice he had on Friday was the final hurdle. I don't know. But it does seem, you know what, and I'm also thinking about this, like, for Liam Hendricks to come back after what he's gone through, it's going to be for a home game, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to come back on the road. He's going to come back at home with the home crowd behind him. I think he'd probably want that. So if he's ready, don't activate him today. Activate him Monday. And I think that's, if I'm going to be reading between the lines here, I would say he's back tomorrow. But we'll see. I mean, maybe something happened on Friday and he's like, yeah, I need a little more time. But sometime during the homestand, that would seem to me like a great time for Liam to return.
And I'm sure the team will welcome him with open arms, and it'll be a much needed boost. And he is the guy to get the guys playing at a super high level. Chuck, I appreciate you giving me some of your time on a Sunday morning. Enjoy your afternoon. All right.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and let's see if the White Sox can get a split and come back home and keep playing some good baseball.
That's right. Check out Chuck Garf on NBC Sports Chicago right after the games, as he and Ozzy are going to be talking to you about, hopefully, a nice little split against Detroit. Chuck's the best, man. I mean, like, I love talking White Sox baseball, but I love talking White Sox baseball with guys that know more about White Sox baseball than I do, because then I just feel like I learn everything. All right, speaking of White Sox baseball and my thoughts, I did have some about this four-game set against Detroit when I was on with Mully on Thursday. I'm going to play that for you on the other side to see if I have a crystal ball in my back pocket. All right, we'll do that after the break. And then again, Wayne Randazzo is going to be hanging out with us at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Infield in, Vaughn drives one, deep left field, it is gone! And the White Sox have blown it open in the fifth. A two-run homer for Andrew Vaughn, and it is 8-1.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Leading you right into Cubs baseball, Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. Spiegel's got the big boy pants to wear today. Doing pre-post for the Cubs and going to be doing the fifth inning. That's going to be some good stuff, man. Make sure you guys check him out. Listen, no one on this station, no one is going to do baseball the way Spiegel does. Now, let's just be very clear, right? Spiegel, the way I love my mom, that's how Spiegel loves baseball. And you know, I always feel so much more informed when I'm with him. You could feel his passion coming through. So, you know, don't worry, guys. He'll be back next week. You guys will be able to take care of him, or he'll be able to take care of you. But Spiegs and I, we did work together on Friday. We talked a lot about Hit and Run, talked a lot about, you know, the Cubs and the Sox and what they were going to be doing this weekend, what the expectations were. And I told him, and I told anybody that would listen, what I thought was going to happen with the White Sox in this series. Take a listen. My prediction is I think they're going to split. I think they're going to split, because what I'm not going to do is say that the Sox are going to win the series and then they split or lose and then I feel disappointed at the end of it. Nope. I'm building my wall around me. You're not going to invade my circle of trust just yet. So I'm going to say they're going to split. And then as far as Michael Kopech, I think he'll regress a bit to the mean. I don't think that he'll, you know, stay at that hot streak. So maybe, like, you know, 5 2/3. Give up, you know, 3 earned runs, 1 run unearned. Yeah, I think he might be in that space. And then, you know, hopefully the Sox can still pull off
the
victory.
You are such a Sox fan. That is the perfect answer for a Sox fan.
You're not going to break my heart, Mully. Uh-uh. No way. I'm feeling too good right now. So I was on with Mully on Thursday, and that was my prediction. Mully thought that the Sox were going to win the series 3-1. And, excuse me. He said he thought they were going to lose the series 3-1, and he was trying to do, like, reverse psychology on the world, you know, put a little whammy out there. And the Sox are definitely in a position today where they might, you know, fulfill one of our prophecies, and hopefully it's mine. Dylan Cease on the bump today going up against Eduardo Rodriguez. As Chuck Garfine mentioned, got the lefty on the mound. So no Benintendi today, no Gavin Sheets. The lineup looks good, though. T.A. batting first, leading off as he should. I brought up the note. I brought up the concept that T.A. maybe just for like a game or two, just the same way we were saying with Patrick Wisdom, you got to shake things up here and there. Got to figure out how to hit the reset button in some moments. Put T.A. like, you know, put him at two. Put T.A. at two. Put him at seven, six, whatever, just for like a game. I'm not saying forever. But T.A.'s batting one today. Has got the average up to 257. Eloy Jimenez is back today, batting second for the White Sox. Luis Robert Jr. is returning to the lineup after not playing yesterday. Andrew Vaughn batting fourth. Then Yasmani Grandal, Jake Berger. Clint Frazier is going to be in the lineup today. Hanser Alberto will be handling duties at third base, it looks like. And then Romy Gonzalez rounding out the lineup. So it should be good. I do feel confident that the Sox can go ahead and do that. But we'll be able to talk more Sox, more Cubs. And we get to do it next with our guy, Wayne Randazzo. What does he have to say about the state of the Chicago White Sox? Does he believe they are more of the team that started the season after a 10-game losing streak? Or does he think this 15-11 stretch that the Sox are on right now is more or less who they actually are? We'll talk to Wayne Randazzo after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the other side to see if I have a crystal ball in my back pocket. All right, we'll do that after the break. And then again, Wayne Randazzo is going to be hanging out with us at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Infield in, Vaughn drives one. Deep left field, it is gone! And the White Sox have blown it open in the fifth. A two-run homer for Andrew Vaughn, and it is 8-1.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Leading you right into Cubs baseball, it's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. Spiegel's got the big boy pants to wear today. Doing pre-post for the Cubs and going to be doing the fifth inning. That's going to be some good stuff, man. Make sure you guys check him out. Listen. No one on this station, no one is going to do baseball the way Spiegs does. Now, let's just be very clear, right? Spiegs, the way I love my mom, that's how Spiegs loves baseball. And, you know, I always feel so much more informed when I'm with him. You could feel his passion coming through. So, you know, don't worry, guys. He'll be back next week. You guys will be able to take care of him. Or he'll be able to take care of you. But Spiegs and I, you know, we did work together on Friday. We talked a lot about hit and run, talked a lot about, you know, the Cubs and the Sox and what they were going to be doing this weekend, what the expectations were. And I told them, and I told anybody that would listen, what I thought was going to happen with the White Sox in this series. Take a listen.
My prediction is I think they're going to split.
I think they're going to split, because what I'm not going to do is say that the Sox are going to win the series and then they split or lose and then I feel disappointed at the end of it. Nope. I'm building my wall around me. You're not going to invade my circle of trust just yet. So I'm going to say they're going to split. And then as far as Michael Kopech, I think he'll regress a bit to the mean. I don't think that he'll, you know, stay at that hot streak. So maybe like, you know, 5 2/3, give up, you know, 3 earned runs, 1 run unearned. Yeah, I think he might be in that space. And then, you know, hopefully the Sox can still pull out the victory.
You are such a Sox fan. That is the perfect answer for a Sox fan.
You're not going to break my heart, Mully. Uh-uh. No way. I'm feeling too good right now. So I was on with Mully on Thursday, and that was my prediction. Mully thought that the Sox were going to win the series 3-1. And, excuse me. He said he thought they were going to lose the series 3-1, and he was trying to do, like, reverse psychology on the world. You know, put a little whammy out there. And the Sox are definitely in a position today where they might, you know, fulfill one of our prophecies, and hopefully it's mine. Dylan Cease on the bump today going up against Eduardo Rodriguez. As Chuck Garfine mentioned, got the lefty on the mound. So no Benintendi today, no Gavin Sheets. The lineup looks good, though. T.A., batting first, leading off as he should. I brought up the concept that T.A. maybe just for like a game or two, just the same way we were saying with Patrick Wisdom, you got to shake things up here and there, got to figure out how to hit the reset button in some moments. Put T.A. like, you know, put him at 2. Put T.A. at 2. Put him at 7, 6, whatever, just for like a game. I'm not saying forever. But T.A.'s batting 1 today. Has got the average up to 257. Eloy Jimenez is back today, batting 2nd for the White Sox. Luis Robert Jr. is returning to the lineup after not playing yesterday. Andrew Vaughn batting 4th. Then Yasmani Grandal, Jake Berger. Clint Frazier is going to be in the lineup today. Hanser Alberto will be handling duties at 3rd base, it looks like. And then Romy Gonzalez rounding out the lineup. So it should be good. I do feel confident that the Sox can go ahead and do that. But we'll be able to talk more Sox, more Cubs. And we get to do it next with our guy, Wayne Randazzo. What does he have to say about the state of the Chicago White Sox? Does he believe they are more of the team that started the season after a 10-game losing streak? Or does he think this 15-11 stretch that the Sox are on right now is more or less who they actually are? We'll talk to Wayne Randazzo after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.